Good afternoon, everyone. We're live. Thanks for accepting our invitation. I know you're so busy, and it's our second time with you. What will happen for the rest? Each of us will ask a question, take turns, and one follow-up question. I'll have the first question. Okay, I've been getting feedback about some people getting confused with who you really are. Like, are you an activist, a leftist, or an active, you know, just an active citizen who went into the party list?
All of the above.
Yeah. Can you define yourself? Like, explain, because it's kind of hard for some activists. They're confused between you and Terry Castillo. So, what are you exactly?
So, sabi ko, I'm all of the above, and they aren't mutually exclusive categories anyway. So, I became an activist as a teenager in high school. And by activist, I simply mean a person, a citizen who is interested in or concerned about a certain issue and then wants to take action on it. And then usually seeks a community, a group of like-minded people or fellow travelers with whom to work so that it can be more effective. Tapos, in my own personal history, my formators have been from the left. And as you were talking about earlier, the history of, or the etymology of the word left, it started after the French Revolution where, siguro nagkataon lang, the I don't know, SecGen, or but the one who was seating the delegates to the new French Parliament said, okay, those who want to preserve the status quo sit on the right side of the Parliament, and those who want to change things sit on the left side. And that for me is the classic and essential meaning of being from the left community, that I fight for change. And the kind of left that I am, kasi maraming klase ng left, the kind of left that I am is someone who fights for change in all peaceful and democratic ways. And then, active citizen, well, that's actually part of the parang apelido of Akbayan, kasi the whole name is Akbayan Citizens Action Party. So, the parang ideal is active citizenship. So, kaya all of the above. And I think until I'm a lola, so habang ako nabubuhay, I'll always be an activist. I'm an erstwhile or sometimes politician. I'm trying to be one again, a legislator again, but always I'll be an advocate.
Because they always, well, the impression I got from some of the criticisms about it is the left is more on the masa side, not that. Well, we blab about it, we think you're social, shadow. So it's an exclusive thing for activists. I'm also an activist. I was an activist before in my UP days. So that's, I just wanted to clear that up. And you were also caught once in a demonstration?
In Women's Day 2005. So welcome, Rotong. Nag-ano kami, Women's Day program. But we were nearly stopped there. Papunta sana kami ng Menjola. So, syempre, hinarangan na kami sa Welcome Rotonda. This was during the time of the state of emergency of GMA. So, nagnenego pa kami to get up to at least Plaza Miranda. But syempre, tumagal yung nego, nakabarikada yung PNP doon. And then, while we were actually already winding up the program, sa katagalan ng pagharap nila sa amin, suddenly, pumasok sila sa hanay namin. So, binasag nila. Then, dinampot ako, dinampot yung mga ibang kasama namin from the labor sector. Karamihan ng mga kasama, they loaded onto a truck, police truck. Ako, physically binuhat, kasi I was really resisting going with them. I was pulling back towards my kasamas. So, binuhat ako, ninagay ako dun sa isang mobile, then tinakbo na sa camp karina.
What's your charge against you?
No, they didn't file any charges. After several hours, finally, nung gabi, pinauwi nila kami, except for one kasama.
There's a follow-up question here.
Mm-hmm. Pero if I could add, kasi okay, you had an earlier part of your question. Well, I was born a middle-class girl. Yeah. I'm a middle-class girl.
Yeah.
I grew up a martial law baby. Tapos, simula nga high school, as a teenager, naging activist ako dun sa issue ng nuclear-free Philippines. So, kaya rin hindi ko na tinuloy yung pagpasok ko sa teatro. Kasi, ano na, dito na ako nahumalingan. And both art and activism are jealous mistresses. Kulang nga yung full time mo eh. So, ayun, yung Philippines piece, nung college, nag-immersion sa mangingisda, nanatiling student activist sa college. I was part of yung protests after the Ninoy assassination, EDSA revolution. Then, nung nagtapos ako sa college, kahit na I'd become a working student as a junior, doon ako nagsimula magtrabaho sa broadcasting for a decade and a half. But after college, full-time talaga sa mass movement work. Nag-organisa ako sa mangingisda, mas maraming taon sa peace movement, hanggang 6 na taon sa peace panel. And during those years, naging founding member ako mga kabayan. So, masyado ba akong social? Ano pa bang gagawin ko para... Basta ang akin is, ano, simpleng pamumuhay at puspusang pagkikipaglaban. My kids and I, I'm a solo mom, and we live simply within my budget, within my sweldo, and pension. May litas na. Ano pa ba? We try to eat healthily, but madalang kami kumain sa restaurant kasi mas tipid mag-home cooking. I buy clothes for my kids but not for myself.
How many?
I have 4.
14?
Panganay ko is in college, 2, high school, 1 grade school. At binabayaran ko yung tuition nila quarterly. Kung pwede sa mode of payment, monthly. Kasi 4 silang nag-aaral sama-sama. Then we have 1 vehicle, diesel. Swerte, we have our own house. Hindi kailangan umupa na. We used to rent before. Pero at least hindi mortgaged. So, ganun. Tapos basta, I would say I'm a middle class girl who chose to work with the poor.
Okay, that's settled now. You're not.
Yeah.
And there was one of our bloggers who couldn't make it. Is asking a question about you and the difference between Teddy Cassini. Teddy Cassini also replied to the question, but we're just comparing the two, Bayan and the, also the his group. Mm-hmm. The difference. Is there a difference?
Meron.
Okay, what's the difference?
Yung iba sa mga kasama namin, mga dating kasama nila. Pero most of us, tulad ako, I was never a not them. I was from high school, as a teenager, I was always a soft them. So hanggang ngayon. Pero, and there have been moments na magkasama, for example, against the martial law dictatorship. Pero even then, may mga differences. Pero okay lang yun. Ganun sana yung nature ng United Front work, diba? But, nung nagsama kami sa Kongreso, we argued about several important issues that have those similar historical roots. Nag-argue kami about universality of human rights. Para sa akin, human rights are for everyone, whether civilian, non-combatant, or combatant, out of combat, or even combatant. At saka, though the primary responsibility for human rights protection and promotion is with the state, for sure, kasi siya ang superior force in any situation, still may accountability ang non-state actors, like the NPA, like the MILF, all other armed groups in the conflict. Kaya, alibawa, yung recent example, para sa akin yung pamamaril ng NPA kay Mayor Lingona, it was in the context of yung pag-setup nila ng checkpoints, saka yung policy nila ng pag-demand ng mga fees, permit to campaign, permit to win. Para sa akin, violations of the Omnibus Election Code yan. Permit to campaign, paano yung mga men who have a right to hear all track records and platforms? Permit to win, bakit sila ba ang botante or sila ba ang COMELEC na magpo-complain? Tapos, sabi nila yung pamamaril, it was not related to extortion. Well, ako naman, I say, tell that to the politicians, the candidates on whom they try to impose their policy of fees. Tapos sabi nila, it happened in the context of an ongoing civil war. There's no such thing happening or going on. Ang tawag nito? So, yun, yung universality of human rights and yung accountability ng lahat ng mga grupo to respect the human rights of all. Lalo na mga non-military targets like Mayor Lingona at yung escort niya na PNP. So that was not a military action kasi hindi sila legitimate military targets. Tapos nag-argue din kami sa Kongreso tungkol sa agrarian reform. It was such an uphill battle from the start. We totally did not have the numbers. At the end, sila lang at yung mga representative ng pinaka-pudal na mga distrito sa Pilipinas ended up voting against Carper. So, meron silang sariling bill. So, kinusap ko nga yung senior rep nila noon. So, hindi ko maintindihan yung mass line nyo. Yung the old CARP law is expiring, ito lang bill namin ang already in plenary. Parang minimum protection for the farmers habang mag-expire yung old law. Why don't you support it muna? Kahit tactic lang. Yung bill nyo, it's still in committee. So, matagal pa bago siya pwedeng mag-ripen into law. Pag naging batas na yun sa inyo, if it renders ours moot, edi, at least may continuity sa agrarian reform for the farmers. But then he said, bakit sinasabi mo na nakikipagsabuatan kami sa mga landlords? Sabi ko, kasi sabi nung isang rep na yon who ended up voting with them against Carper, kasi sabi nung isang rep, you gave them a briefing about your bill just a week ago. Nagulat siya, hindi niya alam. So, mga ganun. So, I don't know, that's on their voting record. They voted against Carper. Sila lang and those most feudal Congress people, Congress persons. Ngayon, niraralihan ng mga kabataan nila yung mga press call namin, pinapila nila kami ng disqualification case sa COMELEC, mga kaso sa korte. Ako, I still hold on to the dream na balang araw magkaisa lahat ng mga progresibong grupo. Posibleng hindi na mangyari sa lifetime namin. Sana sa lifetime ng mga anak namin.
Yeah. So, I think also that he said something different also.
Mm.
So you will never get along.
As of today.
No, like imagine if both of you were elected.
Wow.
We can expect you to compliment each other.
Sana nga eh.
Okay, I'll just follow up with one question that is similar. You supported the cybercrime law, is that true?
No.
Are you a signatory to any case filed versus the law?
Yung mga youth namin, we're the ones preparing a case with other youth, hindi lang naman akbayan, pero kasama sa isa sa 15 cases in the Supreme Court.
Okay,
that's
just my question for now.
My first statement was, I do not support the unconstitutional provisions.
That was your first statement.
May ethicist siya, kasi you cannot say everything in 140 characters. Pero sabi ko nga, mga unconstitutional provisions, eventually this was the complete statement. The unconstitutional provisions have to be struck down, whether in the Supreme Court or by amendment.
You wrote about that?
Pero not a full statement. It's tweeting lang, kasi sa kainitan ng labanan about the anti-cybercrime law. Na lalo na yung mga anti-cyber libel, yung takedown clause, real-time data monitoring, they have to be struck down, definitely, by either the judicial or the legislative branch. And Rep. Walden of Akbayan has an amendatory bill. And I communicated directly to the President, sir.
Okay.
It can unacceptable talaga yung mga ano na yan. And called on him na kahit pa may maisulat kayong IRR dyan, do not implement the law until those unconstitutional provisions are either struck down by the Supreme Court or deleted by amendment from the law.
Okay, the criticism there was you were not very visible during the what happened in the Supreme Court. The Black Tuesday. So you were not so visible then. So you took the route of going straight to the President?
Yes. Ang isang difference ngayon is that dati, as an opposition party member and leader, wala talagang space but the streets. And we really maximize that. And I will never, and we will never quit the streets either. Kasi yung ganyan mass mobilizations, they are part of the democratic space that we fought for. And we should always protect them. All the spaces, the street, the internet is another space where we have to protect democratic space. And for the first time in my history as an opposition person and Akbayan's history as an opposition party, ngayon lang sa administrasyon na, there's another space that was opened up, which was to speak directly and put in the the criticisms and then the alternatives. So, ano lang, to fight on all fronts. So, yung, pero yun yung isang importanteng difference na nakikita ko. There's an additional space that opened up that was totally closed under the previous administration na i-engage yung administration.
We didn't know that. That we talk directly.
Siyempre, I cannot naman say, uy, mga kasama, I'm talking. Kasi yun lang kausapin ko siya directly na ano na siya, oh, ito na naman. Alam niya kung gaano ako katigas ng ulo at kakulit.
That was before he signed it eventually.
Oo naman.
Huh? Or that was before he signed
during
it?
During the deliberation. Kasi diba, yung unang pumutok yung concern natin nung pumasok na yung anti-cyber libel provision. It was still in Senate at that time. So agad, hindi ito pwede. Kasi even the old libel law, which he didn't say anything about at first, belatedly he said, yeah, I'm agreeable to repeal it. Mas matahit yung lumang libel, it's antiquated. The UN has been calling on us to repeal it. Tapos maglalagay ng anti-cyber libel sa ano, anti-cyber crime. Patay. O, ayan na. So,
but you are aware that there is a, being an alternative being proposed, the Magna Carta, for the internet freedom?
Yes.
Are you
aware of
that?
Yes. Oh. You were actually, kayo yung nagtanong well, sa akin nung una dun sa UE Dilaman.
We all helped, but there were some of our friends were actually the ones more active in crafting that. It was really the, one of the first, or if the first, crowdsourced. We didn't realize that, you know, Senator Miriam would eventually pick it up and file it. But people were really saying, if I were the one crafting the law, this is how I would do it. And it was really crowdsourced. Using IT people, bloggers, netizens,
direct democracy.
Lawyers and all that who were online. And then eventually, it was presented to Senator Miriam, who had her staff look at it, they refined it, and then it was filed as a bill. If you are to be elected, is that something that you would strongly support, or you know, what would be your view towards that kind of?
In principle, I am for any legislation, including the Freedom of Information Bill, that will preserve and protect with the force of law yung mga international commitments na natin. And as I said earlier, yung mga karapatan that we long fought for already in para more elementary forms like freedom of expression, freedom of the press, but we have to guarantee these same freedoms and civil liberties sa internet. So I would happy kung after working with Senator Miriam and Senator P on the RH law to work on this, even if she's no longer in the Senate next time, but I'll be working there to carry on that work.
Yeah. The concern of many people right now, I mean, you know, the way some of us look at it is, it's very easy to make promises while still on the campaign trail. The situation changes drastically the moment a person, not necessarily you, is elected into office. We've seen, for example, the freedom of information being a priority, and then suddenly it's been shelved.
He mentioned it in his press con after his first term.
Yes, so there were things which were shelved which were high up in the campaign promises, no? So that is something that we also want to look at the candidates, not only from what is being said, but from what is eventually going to be pushed once that person is elected into office. So I guess this is putting you on the spot.
That's what I'm here for.
Putting you on the spot, because that's what we want to do, that after those people are elected, we would really want to go back to what they said prior to election, what they were promising, what their advocacies were, and see kung nagtutugma.
That's fair
kung
enough.
Kung talagang ipupush or pang ano lang yun, yung pang...
Fair enough. Kasi I also speak very frankly naman about things that I will not support. And it's also on that basis na people will decide to vote for me or not to vote for me. At yun din yung kanilang sisingilin sa akin if ever I get to work in the Senate. What, for example, would I not support? Mas marami kasi yung isusupport ko.
Support na lang muna.
Halimbawa, isang isusupport ko na hindi sinusuportahan ni President Noyza ngayon, security of tenure for labor. Kasi nga, ang laganap ngayon sa Pilipinas, and not just here, but all over the world, is contractualization. Pero we have to give workers, it's not even a non-wage benefit, it's a basic right. And it's a basic social protection against yung ano yung ill effects of the current model of globalization. And then, but back to your original question also, well, better siguro than me, you could ask yung mga naging kasama ko the past 3 decades that I've been an activist, causes that I first espoused as an activist, tapos nung nagkaroon ng pagkakataon to work in the house, na itinulak ko talaga. Like, I was a student nung unang dinadraft yung unang-unang agrarian reform law way back in 1987. Tapos, talagang sinubaybayan ko yan through its 2 earlier incarnations until ilaban ko yung Carper, until it was passed into law. An early interest of mine also has been healthcare. I guess that's natural to any human being naman. And that's why, while in Congress, kahit nasa minority na ako noon, because this was post-Hello Garci, nag-opposition na kami since then, tinulak ko talaga yung cheaper medicine. So that was another big fight kasi grabe yung lobby money that the international pharma companies brought to bear on us. So uphill battle din yun, simula until finally we passed it into law. Then RH, I never let go of that. Kahit na nung kainitan ng pagbanat ng Catholic hierarchy, all their threats about we will destroy electorally anyone who support this. But just ano, kaya ko naman to stick things out. Regardless of the threatened consequences. So, ayun.
Okay, I'm going to ask something that was asked on Facebook. Medyo ano to ha? I'll just read it na lang the way it was posted. Why didn't she stick to her winning, brave personality where people admired her? Singing and ganda slogan in her ads makes her a weak candidate. She has it, but she needs to be careful in her campaign materials.
Well, comment. Maraming salamat sa comment at saka sa payo. Yung ganda was there at the very start, magandang laban, which is for me a very Filipino expression na kunyari, magtataya ka sa isang laban, tapos may dehado, pero magandang laban kasi may pinaglalaban at saka mali natin, baka may fighting chance. So yung that Filipinism that was there from the very start. And then ngayon, it's more of yung paglalaban ka, aalagaan ka. So the consistent element has been the laban, the pagiging palaban. And then, well, singing, sorry ha, talagang yun ang first love ko bago ko naging aktivista. Nasa Sound of Music ako sa rep. And the time na Mommy brought me to that forum of Nuclear Free Philippines Coalition in summer after sophomore year high school. I was actually preparing to audition for South Pacific naman. Kaya lang, parang na-hijack ako ng activism. Hindi na ako nakabalik sa teatro. And, sorry, pag masaya ako, kumakanta talaga ako. So, I'm not shy about being Pinoy that way. Kutulan natin, mahilig sa musika. Even though yun na minsan namin misinterpret. So, salamat na lang sa pagkakataon na ipaliwanag. But yun, yung pagiging palaban, hindi na mawawala sa pagkatao ko yun. Ever since I was a kid, until I grow old, habang nabubuhay ako, ganun. And whether sa opposition or sa administration.
Where do you take that trait from? Is it
pagiging palaban?
Yes, I mean your family.
Thanks for asking. Yeah. May kwento yan eh. In 65, before I was born, ang mga magulang ko, like many middle class people at that time, sabi nila, they voted for Marcos. Kasi akala nila alternative siya sa presidente noon. Pero by 1969, parang nakikita na nila yung mga pagpaglabag sa kaharapatan, yung mga korupsyon. So, ano, nanlamig na sila sa kanya. They didn't vote for him again in 69. Nung binagsak yung martial law 1972, I was 6. Tapos, I remember talaga, very visual at saka auditory memories ko. We would gather for family reunions yung sa bahay ng isang tito namin. Pag maabot na kami ng curfew doon, so syempre sleepover na. Masaya kami mga magpipinsan kasi could sleep together. But we would look over the balcony nung bahay ng tito ko to the dining table below. Tapos yung Lazy Susan paikot-ikot, ganyan, kanan, kaliwa, passing food. Nag-uusap yung mga tito at tita namin. And over the years during martial law, nag-iba talaga ang tenor ng conversation sa table. Naging disapproving, naging galit, naging takot. So talagang nag-shift to opposition feeling yung family namin. And my first mobilization, yung 1978 noise barrage. Laban. Sina ni Noy Aquino were running from prison. Doon lang sa garden namin, sa likod. Patsya, pats, and pants, and options. And then yun, si Mami din ang nagdala sa akin sa forum ng Nuclear Free Philippines Coalition. Nakita ko doon yung Tres Marias noon, si Nini Quezon Atansenia, Sister Mary John Manansan, Mary Concepcion Bautista. So, it really started with my family. Tapos sa school, lalo na high school, and then hanggang college, I was so lucky, ang dami kong mentors na mga aktivista din in their own time na hinubog ako inside the classroom at saka sa mga extracurricular activities. So yun, nanggagaling doon sa pamilya, sa mga mentors ko, yung na proud ako sa pagiging Pinoy. So lagi kong dinudugtong doon sa kasaysayan natin since nakatipunan pa, and all the change movements down through the decades. Hanggang ngayon, I see a line, a tradition there. Yan, arts always inspire me. And siguro yung pagka-critical nature ng mga artists and cultural workers, kaya rin ako ganito. I'm inspired by nature, and there are things, there's a certain order in the chaos of nature na hinahanap ko rin sa lipunan natin. My faith as well. Yung nung high school ako at college, talagang inabasa ko na yung liberation theology, yung pagiging Church of the Poor. So, yan, all these came together, have come together to make me the kind of political person that I am.
Very good.
Very good.
I was, first of all, I can attest to the singing. I was actually at the Pontiveros family
there. Talaga!
That's because I know one of your relatives.
Si Maan.
Si Payan, actually.
Ah, si Payan.
They all sang. So, it's not just Mrs. Pontiveros who sings in the family, apparently.
And there's Father Eddie on today.
Yes, that.
The composer, yeah.
Oh my goodness. I wanted to ask, because you mentioned earlier, you do now have a privileged position. Mm-hmm. You can talk to the president directly. I mean, what is the relationship between Akbayan, you, Yun Bayan, and the government? Because mm-hmm. this is actually one of the favorite talking points of that particular faction of the progressive movement. You're no longer an opposition party. You've been co-opted. And for them, it sounds like a dirty word, except if they're
ones
doing it. Of course,
co-opetion is a dirty word.
Yeah.
If they're the ones doing it.
That's just my, you know. But what's your relationship? That would want to clarify. Voters, what did you want to respond to?
We are in coalition with the liberals. For the first time in the history of Akbayan, na lagi kaming opposition noon, when 2010 came around, and several presidentials asked us to join their coalition to support them. Eventually, after many months of discussion, eventually, nag-decision kami kay President Noy because of three reasons. Una, marami kaming positive legislative experiences kasama niya at ng mga liberal sa House, and then even when he moved on to the Senate. So, lalo na sa mga usapin ng fiscal reform, security sector reform na mga passions niya. Yung mga congressional inquiries, lalo na when he was chair of the Human Rights Committee of the House. Kahit nung ang ininvestiga ay yung Hacienda Luisita massacre, na nag-inhibit siya, pero he directed his committee secretariat to really push through with the hearings even on-site sa Hacienda. At talagang ginawa nila per his instructions. Nung magkakasama kami sa House, ilan kami sa masipag na magdebate sa budget taon-taon, kahit hanggang madaling araw na. And we shared many experiences of fighting what we were sure were losing causes. Pero just to make it of record lang, lalo na yung mga early impeachment complaints against GMA. Tapos pangalawa, at that time, siya yung presidentiable na pinakami, at least minimum reform agenda na we could support. At saka we could stand beside him to fight for it. Mga minimum agenda ng expanding civil and political liberties. Mga minimum agenda ng modernizing yung mga institusyon sa gobyerno at saka sa ating lipunan. Na para sa amin, sa Akbayan, na Democratic Left, stepping stones, necessary stepping stones towards longer term, more strategic reforms. And then last but not least, at that time, siya yung presidential na para sa amin, least likely to, speaking of cooptation, least likely to enter into an accommodation with GMA. Tansya namin sa kanya, siya yung pinaka-sisinilin yung accountabilities for allegations of abuse, of corruption. So, yun. Tapos, hanggang ngayon, in coalition kami sa kanya. Kahit na hindi kami nagkakasundo sa security of tenure, hindi kami nagkasundo sa mga unang pagpuposisyon sa mining, hindi kami nagkasundo sa usapin ng anti-cybercrime law. But it's a critical and respectful relationship. And one more thing, para sa akin, itong pagiging in coalition namin sa kanya and an established party like the Liberals for the first time in our lives as a party, it prefigures the kind of coalition politics na nakikita namin kailangan in a modern political system with genuine political parties. I'm for a shift to a parliamentary form of government. Para dyan, you have to have real and strong parties na capable of forming governments together or dissolving kapag may differences in principle talaga. So, para sa akin, itong pag-coalition namin sa kanila with all its imperfections and inadequacies, it's a real practice for coalition politics in the future. So,
my follow-up question would then be, since you've already indicated that you would support the shift in government, would there be, is that Bayan backing any proposal in the next Congress to convene a constitutional review body or convention? This is a demand that's not just being made by left-wing people, but people who are also on the center or the right.
It's not yet a priority for us right now, but it's in our party platform. And I don't think it's probable na magbubukas din dyan si President Noy anytime soon. Baka meron siyang at least sentimental attachment to the current constitution kasi Cory constitution. Mm-hmm. Pero I don't think that it's impossible na towards the end of his term at least mag-initiate siya ng process ng public consultations. Kasi hindi rin lang naman cosmetic, automatic shift ang constitutional reform. You have to generate those requirements na. And one way to do that is just to get the public conversation going. Kailangan ba ito? Ano yung mode? Ano talaga yung isa subject to amendment? Ano yung outcome na gusto natin? At saka, I'm not for wholesale amendment of the constitution. Yun lang that would strengthen our democracy, like a shift of parliamentary form. Halimbawa, against ako, napalitan yung 60-40 provision on national economy and patrimony. That should stay forever to protect yung priority rights ng mga Pilipino dito sa ating bansa kumpara sa mga dayuhan. We're already skirting it through laws like the Philippine Mining Act of 1995, for example.
So,
okay.
So my final question then. This is with regard to that, the constitutional 60-40. I know there are some people who are want to see it out because they believe that the problem is that in a globalizing world you need to shape things up. You need to bring in the kind of foreign competition that will force Filipinos to adopt more global standards, more disciplined working methods, so on and so forth. What would you say to those objectors?
To achieve the global benchmarks at para maging mas competitive tayo sa mga ugali natin, it's not just amending that kind of a constitutional provision na daan papunta ron. In this globalized world, in fact, the most industrialized countries who in the Philippines may be allied with yung mga ganong interest na i-delete na lang yung constitutional provision na yan, in their own home countries, they have the same constitutional standards. Binibigyan din nila ng pangunahing prioridad at protection yung sarili nilang mga kababayan. So it's unfair for them and it's foolish for us to bow to demands to dilute yung minimum 60% ownership and equity for Filipinos just because they say that's the way to bring in foreign direct investments. In fact, kahit sa mga pag-aaral ng business community, it's not the constitutional limitation on, say, land ownership na sagka sa pagpasok ng mas marami at quality foreign direct investments. Ang pinaka-importante sa kanila for there to be a predictable policy environment na yung mga batas governing business and commerce in the country and global trade mas maayos and applied equally to all. So, equal application of the law to all.
So,
kanyan, kaya nilang magnegosyo at kaya nilang kumita. This is the way they do in their home countries.
So, your concern is more that if you were elected, you will make sure that these legal protections apply equally rather
yes.
than selected.
And the constitutional provision has to stay in perpetuity. It's even without a political lens, it just makes common sense. You take care of your household first. Then you can be a good neighbor in your community.
Okay, thank you.
My question is, we all know that there are one of the first provisions for women empowerment, say, for example, in Puerto Rico. Last year, UN encourages the Philippines and other Asian countries to decriminalize prostitution. Do you think Philippines is ready for that? And decriminalization of prostitution doesn't empower women?
Well, I have to confess na hindi ko pa nabasa yung primary text nung issuance niya ng UN. Pero, what I can say in response is, ang tinutulak ko is an anti-prostitution bill. Kahit sa mga prostituted women all over the world, there are at least two schools of thought about paano mas magiging rights-based yung pagtrato ng gobyerno at ng lipunan sa kanila. There are mga kabaro ko, prostituted women in the Netherlands, for example. Sa kanila, prostitution is work. So, ang rights-based approach nila ay protect their rights as working people. Kaya importante yung lisensyado sila, City Hall will give them quality healthcare check-ups, yung mga contraceptive supplies, tapos ipopulis na maayos yung neighborhood nila para they won't be subject to sexual abuse, etc. Dito naman sa Pilipinas, and the community of prostituted women and prostitution survivors whom I work with and Aquine works with, ang kanila naman is, they want an alternative. At yun yung nakapaloob sa anti-prostitution bill na ito, which has two main components. One is, ilipat yung criminal liability, which till now is borne almost solely by the prostituted woman. Lipat dun sa mga talagang kumikita sa industriya ng prostitution. And in industriya talaga siya. Prostitution here, it's just the domestic phase of international human trafficking. Human trafficking is the international expression of prostitution here. So, ilipat dun sa mga establishment owners, sa mga bugaw, sa mga customers, sa mga errant law enforcers who, when they pick up a prostituted woman on the street, sabi na, anti-vagrancy law, and then, kukutongin nila, or some of them even rape her, ganon. And then, pangalawa, bigyan ng alternative livelihood at saka counseling therapy yung mga prostituted women and prostitution survivors para makatransition to a life that is optimal for them. So, whether the UN was calling for legalization of prostitution and kung legalization ala sa Netherlands, that's not what I would support. It's not that I oppose rights of working women working in that industry in that country, but ang talagang preference ng mga prostituted women dito ay mas yung tanggalin sa kanila yung criminalization at ilagay dun sa mga talagang nagsasagawa nito and give them alternatives.
Second question po, sa RH law na imposed yung sex education, so the continuous argument coming from anti-RH people is that it encourages premarital sex for teenagers. How will the law assure that engagement of premarital sex would not be rampant?
Well, actually, nobody needs to encourage young people to be interested in sex. It's natural. And in fact, it's normal. It's one of the positive aspects of being human. If we believe in God, that's one way that He created us. Sabi nga nila, everything in the universe is sexed. Everything is attracted to each other. That's why we don't fall apart in some black hole in the cosmos. So, ang tawag nito, and the premise of age-appropriate adolescent RH and sexuality education is to give young people the correct information and form them in a positive way so that they will recognize this powerful energy aspect of their humanity and use it responsibly, use it to become happy, and when the right time comes to establish their own families. Kahit wala pa nga yung RH law, problema na natin ang teenage pregnancy, teenage abortion, teenage STDs, including HIV and AIDS. Among the original, sorry, ang kulit ko, I said this when we were together sa UP, but it's true that, sabi nila eh, of the original ASEAN 6, tayo na lang ang mataas pa rin ng incidence ng teenage pregnancy. Everybody else in our home region has brought it down. And one key instrument has been sex education. So how to assure na this will not make all these problems more rampant? Evidence, research. All the countries that instituted sex education of this mode have seen the rising of the average age of sexual initiation. So, pinagpapaliban. Kasi part ng ABC eh, sa sex ed, eh, is abstinence pa rin. Pero kung sexually active na, be faithful, be monogamous, wag multiple partners. Kasi then yung geometrically multiply the problems. Pangatlo, C, if you're sexually active, young person, use contraceptives or condoms. So, ayun, the research shows na ganun yung mga public good na lumalabas sa sex education. Later sexual initiation, fewer teenage pregnancies, fewer teenage STDs.
Sige po. You're part of the UP, how can you assure that you're doing the
even before, nagdi-disagree, kahit ako, kahit kay President Noy, at alam niya yan, dalawang taon ko siya kinulit about the RH law. Mas matagal ko siyang kinulit about kasi ang dalubisita. There was just no need to tweet and Facebook about it before. Kasi, every pag medyo kinukulit mo isang tao, medyo, hindi mo naman i-broadcast yun. Tapos ngayon, within Team Pinoy, we have a difference of opinions on some important issues. And comfortable kami to express it within hearing of each other sa mga public fora. And I guess my track record in the House speaks for itself also, and my track record in the mass movement. So unless I suddenly, whatever, suffer some kind of a breakdown, unfortunately, I'll probably be like this for the rest of my life.
Hello po.
Hi.
So, I'm Janina Sakasta from AINLA and Indian Health Blogger Society. One of the primary concerns po namin sa NOCSA na nag-advocate for health is the status quo ante na binaba ng Supreme Court regarding the RH law, which is very funny kasi binaba siya right after the IRR was signed. So, it was kind of a big... It was kind of a heartbreak for all advocates na kung kailan i-implement na talaga siya, tsaka siya binasa. And we all know that you are one of the champions of the RH movement and the RH battles. So, given that you're already busy with the campaigns and given that sa June po magsisimula yung deliberation sa SC regarding the RH law, ano po yung extra preparations na ginagawa niyo in order for you to support or to be present during the deliberation?
Well, yung oral arguments na yan before the Supreme Court, yung talaga yung last big battle. Malay yun yung last stand. We won the vote in the House. Just before that, we won the certification as urgent from the President. Di talaga natin inasahan itong setback ng Supreme Court. Pero sige, if that's what it takes, so we are preparing for that. And if we win this, finally, that law will be implemented. I took a half day off from the campaign sorties yung araw ng public consultation sa IRR sa Luzon, sa Manila. And we are preparing now for the oral arguments. We're to sit down with the legal team, see ano na yung preparations to put forward the arguments and to answer yung arguments na hinain dun sa anim na kaso which were filed against the implementation. At tuloy-tuloy yung pag-meeting ng mga advocates, pagpaplano, and dun sa mga nasa direct services, syempre, all the more urgent yung sinusustain nila yung family planning services that they are already making available, even without the benefit of yung across-the-board DOH implementation ng batas.
Ma'am, yung isa pong repercussions of being an RH advocate and being very loud in terms of speaking for RH was that the CBCP is, let's just use the word that we already know they're doing, is endorsing against you. So they have formed a movement called the White Movement. There was the tarpaulin regarding Team Patay, which you were included. Congratulations po.
Salamat.
Congratulations po. At least now we know who to vote for. So, And the white movement is making noise, yeah, talaga. Mm-hmm. So how are you dealing with, I guess I can call it a threat of the white movement to your candidacy?
Well, the first, for me, the most important and first way to deal with it is to counter yung mga kasinungalingan na sinasabi nila tungkol sa RH law by ano yung totoong laman ng RH law, anong intention at magiging epekto nito yung kabutihan sa kalusugan natin mga kababaihan, sa edukasyon ng ating mga kabataan, yung suporta sa mga pamilya, lalo na yung mga mahihirap magplano para makaahon sa kahirapan. The only way to counter, sabi nila, it's voters' education, it's citizens' mis-education and disinformation. So the only way to counter that is to keep telling the truth over and over about the RH law.
Mm-hmm.
Pangalawa, naniniwala naman ako na walang Catholic vote na anti-RH. Kung may Catholic vote man, it's pro-RH. I believe na yung mga surveys na nagpakita noon pa na majority of Filipinos support the then RH bill, na nakapaloob doon yung majority ng mga Katoliko. I believe that any Catholic vote would be pro-RH dahil kahit anecdotally man lang, as a Catholic myself, ang mga napag-usap ko mga kapwa-Katoliko are passionately Catholic at the same time passionately pro-RH. And I believe na yung mga survey results noon tungkol sa then-RH bill, masasalamin din sa election results on May 13.
Ma'am, a final question. Another issue for women nowadays, actually not for, just for women, but for married couples, is the divorce law na pinile na po, I believe, sa Congress. Meron po, after the RH law has been signed by the President, naglabas po ng statement si Mr. Lacerda that the Pinoy administration will not support divorce. And as far as I know, ma'am, you are pro-divorce law. So, kung makakapasok po kayo sa Senado, and knowing that you're a liberal party, you're part of the liberal party, are you willing to go against the administration to lobby and to support and to fight for the divorce law?
Actually, akbayan ako, hindi ako liberal. Pero in coalition kami sa kanila. Oo. And wala pa rin namang posisyon yung Akbayan Party on any divorce bill. Pero matagal na yung Akbayan Women na nagsasabi, pag-usapan natin yung issue nito. So my own take is also my own personal conviction about divorce. Sinusuportahan ko yung pabor ako sa divorce dahil lalo na sa mga sitwasyon na meron ng wife battery or marital rape or child abuse. At tingin ko sa ganyang mga konteksto, kailangan protektahan yung mga babae at yung mga bata. And for couples, di ba, kung special celebrity couples or ordinary couples, kailangan may options to move on and to be happy again. Again, I have to confess, hindi ko pa napag-aralan yung there are actually two bills pending in Congress. Yung isa pro-divorce, yung isa anti-divorce. Wala akong alam na pending sa Senate. And my own platform for this incoming term is centered, yes, on women and very much on universal healthcare. So, wala pa sa priority ko ang isang divorce bill. But that is my own conviction about the issue of divorce. So, at the very least, pag-usapan na natin sa ating lipunan. Kasi hindi na acceptable yung status quo in a good number of Philippine marriages. And we have to generate options for people.
Thank you, Paul.
Kasi po, yung last manumano baby ko, third in birth,
okay.
I wanted to ask this question po. Kasi sinabi niyo rin po a while ago na request sa support hand. What made you support, what made you an LGBT rights advocate?
Yung isang tito ko was a gay man. He was an artist, a poet siya, visual artist. He left the Philippines a long time ago kasi hindi siya maging masaya dito. He had to go away para lang magkaroon ng space to be who he really was. Tapos, nagkasakit siya sa States. He died there alone. Sinundo pa siya ng mom ko. She brought his ashes home. And as I was growing up, hanggang ngayon, dumami yung mga kaibigan ko na gay or lesbian, either bisexual, transgenders, and just the whole range of different ways of being human. So, kaya pinaprioritize ko yung anti-discrimination bill kasi kung rights-based approach tayo, ayaw natin ng second class anybody, second class citizens, second class relationships. Para sa akin, ano, if I believe in human rights, just as therefore I believe in women's rights, then I also believe in LGBT rights. And for me, in fact, everything that I believe in and I fight for and I love, it stems first and foremost from being a woman. And para ang naisip ko kasi, yun yung unang inaalam sa tao pag pinanganak tayo, di ba? Yung babae ba, lalaki, yung baby. And everything stems from there. So, yung expression natin of who we are, who we love, it's part of being human. It's the most basic thing that we have to cherish. Kaya ganun.
Thank you, Dr. Lumpo. It's a little serious question. Kung nasa Twitter mo tayo, you're limited to 140 characters. So, how would you describe, how would you explain ano yung SOCDEM?
Oh my God! Okay, 140 characters. SOCDEM. Political democracy. Socialized economy. Humanist culture. That's a rough attempt. That's more than 140. Hindi pa, hindi pa naman. Oh, sige, sige. And ecology.
Ecology.
And feminism. Ayan.
Kasha pa sa ano. Kasha pa. Yung sa ano, yung the psychology mo, you're also against, you're part of the anti-nuclear movement. So are you still a part of the, are you still believe na we shouldn't have nuclear power here in the Philippines?
Dapat forever mothballed ang Bataan Nuclear Power Plant. Kung may magmatigas ng ulo pa, tignan lang nila yung mga industrialized and nuclear-powered nations of the world. Paatras sila sa nuclear energy. Even by legislation sa Germany, sa iba pang mga bansa, paatras sa nuclear energy. At saan sila umaatras? Renewable energy. Yan yung sustainable. Yan yung mas environmentally friendly. Yan yung may clear path away from dependence on fossil fuels. At yan yung mas malinaw na mas malinis na enerhiya talaga. So, yun.
Tapos ilang years mo tayo sa Congress? Ilang years?
Anim.
No, tapos doon term nyo, yung sa term nyo, yung paano ginagamit yung PDAP na bayan?
Ah, nice. I believe in the abolition of the pork barrel system. Kasi pinagmumula ng masyadong marami incidents ng korupsyon at saka patronage. Plus, hindi naman trabaho ng legislators na makipagkompetensya sa executive to design and implement development programs. Dapat ang legislature natin nakafocus sa legislation, including passing the budget, congressional inquiries in aid of legislation, impeachment, and such processes kapag kailangan. So, abolish the pork barrel system sa legislature. Ilipat lahat yung pondo sa executive from Office of the President, NEDA, departments, down to the LGUs, lalo na sa LGUs kasi sila yung nakababad sa sitwasyon ng tao. Alam nila yung sitwasyon, problema, pangarap, lamang. Tapos, but, pero habang, and Bayan and I have been saying this since 98, since we entered the House. Siyempre, habang hindi popular na call yan at hindi pa ina-abolish yung pork barrel system, sa PDAF, at the very least, dapat gamitin siya in a transparent and accountable way. So, diba kami, pinupost namin sa website, kinilala yan sa, ng Transparency International as one of the three most accountable offices in the House. Dapat transparent and accountable at dapat ang paggamit niya base sa desisyon ng ordinaryong mamamayan, hindi lang ng kung sino yung kongresista o senador.
Kung nasa Senate kayo, tapos nangyari ulit yung inigay ng 200 million sa ano yung Christmas bonus. Ano yung gagawin niya?
Hindi ko tatanggapin kasi kahit sa household, pag biglang may ma-generate na savings, hindi ko naman dinadagdagan yung allowance ng mga anak ko. Hindi ko rin ginagastos para sa sarili ko. Nagastosin ko para sa mga parang priority programs namin sa pamilya, which are always underfunded. Isusubi ko for yung next installment ng tuition ng mga bata, isusubi ko for, huwag naman sana if every one of us gets sick. Kasi sa ngayon, PhilHealth, 30% reimbursement lang after a quarter of a year. So medyo malaki rin ang money out even for a middle class person like me. So, kung nangyari ganyan ulit sitwasyon sa Senado, and if I'm working there, hindi ko talaga katatanggapin. It should, they should have given it back to the general fund. They should have reverted it back to the general fund through BBM para gastusin lalo na sa mga social services at sa mga social reform programs. Dagdagan nila ng funding ang ano, 4Ps.
Tapos sa loob, matagal-tagal na rin ito yung nakikinig ng campaign at saka ano. Nakita niyo ba at this moment, it's more of, lalo na sa national or even sa local, it's more of personality politics now rather than non-party or political stance.
Mm-hmm.
Question ko doon, hindi ba kayo una nahihirapan?
Mm-hmm.
Pangalawa, ano yung pwedeng gawin in terms of legislature para maayos to?
Mahirap talaga. Uphill battle pa rin. Although just like the RH bill at the start, mahirap talagang bakahin yung... May mga efforts naman, earnest efforts to make politics more platform and track records based. Pero syempre, magbago yung kultura natin at yung sistema. So, talagang mabigat na dalahin yung popularity, name recall, lalo na ang daming, mas masigip ang field ngayon eh. Ang daming incumbent re-electionist, dating bumabalik, kamag-anak ng incumbent, so mahirap talaga kung hindi naman familiar yung apelido mo. What can we do legislatively? Siguro yung ano, tuloy-tuloy na electoral reforms is one clear track na binuksan na natin. Nagsimula na sa party list law, nasundan ng election automation. Ngayon, bagamat medyo binigo ng Supreme Court ruling, may efforts in the right direction ng COMELEC regarding campaign finance reform. Yung pinag-usapan natin kanina na development of political party system, yun ang pinaka makapangyarihan talaga to break this personalistic politics and make our political system more modern, more responsive. Legislatively, ayun, dapat bills to support further electoral reforms. And generally, yung conduct ng mga legislators natin, sana mas maging party-based din. Mas meron talagang party discipline. Yun.
So, tapos yan, minamonitor naman yung mga survey results.
Oh, syempre.
Ngayon, yung kasi we're nearing the last few days of the election. Tapos nanotice ko rin na mas nagiging intense yung fighting for the mga slots. And also, nangyayari, minsan nagiging personal na yung mga attacks.
Uh-huh.
So, how do you feel about this? And are you prepared for, let's say, things getting personal?
They've been personal for a long time. I've been called the worst things sa mga dating laban na. I'm prepared for that. Diba, sabi nila, if you're, reverse saying yung, if you're in the kitchen, then you better be able to take the heat. At the same time, hindi naman pwedeng tanggapin na this is the best scenario forever. Kaya importante ituloy yung mga electoral reforms. And then, kasi habang sinusunog din natin yung electoral reforms, mas may parang enabling environment na magbago din yung political culture natin. Sometimes as difficult as those political and especially economic changes are, minsan pinakamahirap yung cultural change. Pero pag yun, yung nagawa natin, then it somehow makes those other changes a little less difficult and it consolidates them. Pag may political change or may economic change at talagang inuun ng mamamayan kasi nagbago yung kamalayan natin, that change can stick talaga for the future. So, sorry, I lost my train of thought. Medyo biglang nasinan mo ito.
So,
personality.
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 Personality. As you said. Ayun. So, I've been there for years. Kahit nung activist ako before I became a politician. Grabe rin yung mga polemics, ganyan. But, I guess that's part of it. I just have to keep trying to raise the level, and not just to tell yung mga katunggal eh, pero to remind ourselves also na okay, let's keep it on this level. Hindi personalan, issues, track record, platform, always.
Do you shield your children from it?
Hindi na, I can't, they're big na eh. Meron akong 20-year-old sa kadalawang teenager, kahit yung bunso ko na 11, minsan siya pa yung mag-update sa akin, Mama, I heard on the radio na ganito, ganyan, and they're very opinionated. So, wala namang totoong shielding eh. Kasi parang very porous yung boundaries between home and society. And in a way, that's the healthy way. Parang ang role lang ng mga magulang and other elders and mentors is to help the young person understand na kapag ma-overwhelm. At tapos, to develop their own values na to engage the world.
Kasi, ano ko, sa mga, let's say, yung mga tao na over sa office, yung tao mag-ano, or even yung mga self-employed, what with, ano, mistreats ng Tabero Spring to the Senate for them?
Inalaban ko pa rin talaga yung security of tenure. Even while, you know, we're working on convincing the president about it, pero kailangan talaga ng ano, manggagawang empleyado ang security of tenure. Nobody is waiting for kawang gawa. People just want a chance to work para makatanggap ng sweldo o sahod para buhayin ng mga tao ng pamilya. So that's for people working in the offices. Ano yung pangalawang?
Self-employed.
And then, yung mga self-employed. Then, never to forget the women. Ngayon na umaarangkado yung ekonomiya, parang rockstar yung Philippine economy in Asia. But we still have to do a lot of the equity part of the work. Let women not be forgotten, including solo moms. I think government could give a lot more support to women, including solo mothers, sa usapin ng trabaho at saka hanap buhay, negosyo, sa mga SMEs. And to add, kaya importante yung security of tenure kasi all over the world, hindi lang dito sa Pilipinas, nahihirapan talaga to sustain unions, labor movement. Ang bigat ng kalaban talaga. So, we have to provide minimum protections for working people not to be able to work and to enjoy the rights and benefits due them under the law. So, isa yung security of tenure. Then, dapat kasama lahat ng working people, including women, dun sa mga PhilHealth, SSS or GSIS, etc. Social protection.
Thank you.
Yes po. Sorry. Ah, okay, sorry. Oh, sige. Pati ba, ma'am, may I go out to the bathroom? Or are we tulit-tulit?
We'll talk to it.
Okay.
Yeah.